The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. On today's episode, we have a special guest, a longtime friend of the Grace Evangelical Society, Mike Lee. I hope you enjoy a story because over the next few episodes, we're going to explore the story of Mike Lee. His experiences in the faith, and I think you are in for a treat. So, sit back and enjoy this episode of Grace in Focus with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Bob Wilkin, and I'm here with a special guest. What is your name, mystery guest?
My name is Mike Lee. Very difficult to remember.
Mike Lee, yeah. Spelled L-I-I, but you've told me before that from Chinese characters, it could be spelled about four different ways, right?
Right. You can spell it L-E-E, L-I.
L-I-I, or even L-1-E.
I think in certain countries, yeah.
And so that also is not just for, like, you're Taiwanese, but that's also true for China, and it's also true for, like, Koreans have Lee as a name too, don't they? And
they do, yeah. Maybe probably somewhere back there is the same ancestor somehow.
Probably, yeah. And now, where'd you grow up?
I was born in Chicago, but we moved out to San Francisco when I was about age 12. So
that's right. Your dad got a PhD in chemistry in Chicago?
Yeah. He went to IIT, Illinois Institute of Technology. He got a PhD in organic chemistry.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he had a tea business, but he also taught chemistry for many years.
When we were in Chicago, he taught chemistry in the junior college, but that's when we moved to San Francisco. He gave up that career and decided to open a tea shop in San Francisco Chinatown.
And what was that called?
Tenren Tea.
And he had ultimately five different shops?
I think maybe about three.
Three?
Three in the Bay Area, yeah.
And then you started an online version too?
Yeah. I had in 2000 helped them start an online version.
So you went to high school in San Francisco?
Right, San Francisco Bay Area, Millbrae, California, Mills High School.
Okay, yeah. And then what about college?
I went to Berkeley.
I grew up in a different state. I grew up in Southern California.
Right.
Not quite the same as Northern California. I guess it's the same state, but I was accepted at UCLA, but I ended up at UC Irvine. But Berkeley, among the people in Southern California, was kind of like the Harvard of the UC system.
Or we were the left-wing part of the state. Well, you guys were in the right-wing conservative part of the state,
there was that, although UCLA was definitely not conservative. When I was there, they had Angela Davis, and it was pretty – UCLA was pretty liberal. But you were even more liberal, and – of course, San Francisco had Haight-Ashbury and all that, right?
Right. We had Haight-Ashbury, and I think during my years at Berkeley, we had the Haight Man, and we had
who was the Haight Man?
He was this homeless guy who would just, I guess, any street preacher who would come on campus, he would basically harass them and you know, give them a hard time.
So you graduated from Berkeley, and what was your degree?
I got a degree in economics and statistics, and then after Berkeley, I went off to grad school at MIT for economics. Yeah.
Okay, so you were at MIT in economics, and you were actually on the PhD track.
Right.
But you did ultimately three different theses, right, along the way?
No, that's if you want to graduate. Basically, I washed out. I was the what they call ABD, all but dissertation.
Right.
So passed my qualifying exams. And after my fourth year in the program, I decided to, you know, I don't want to be the 40-year-old grad student who's good for practically nothing. So I took a master's degree and left MIT.
Now, you did teach some at MIT. You were teaching undergrads when you were a doctoral student. Is that right?
Well, that's basically how it is at, you know, big research universities is graduate students are, they serve as TAs for undergraduate students, you know. So,
okay.
You know, you don't want the professor, you know, they'll maybe teach in a class of 200 and then they have a, you know, four or five TAs who help teach the undergrads in smaller sections for them, yeah.
I see. So you left MIT, and was it around that time that you married Letitia?
A year after MIT, I married Letitia. So,
but y'all knew each other since high school, is that right?
Right. Actually, I met Letitia probably about 2 or 3 weeks after I came to faith in Christ. She was attending the same high school fellowship.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so tell us how you came to faith in Christ.
Yeah, basically this was in my junior year in high school, and I got stuck in six-period soccer conditioning as my PE course. So I didn't really – my friends were not in PE, and PE is the one class you really want your friends. But I had known these some friends from back in my junior high days who were younger than me, but I hadn't seen them in like 3 or 4 years. They invited me to this high school church fellowship that met on Friday nights.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it was there at this high school church fellowship that one evening when the counselors took me aside and he, you know, Mike, you know, if you were to die today in my car while I was driving home, would you know you'd go to heaven? And it's like, I answered, I don't know. You know, I hope I do. You know, my theology was based on the movies, you know, look at the scales. If I'd done more good and more bad, that'd be great. And interesting enough, there was a few weeks ago at this church fellowship, I heard a speaker, and he had said, if you were to die today and you know you'd go to heaven, raise your hand now with your eyes closed. You know, I, being the person I was, I took a peek. And I was like, wait, how did all these people are able to raise their hands? I can't raise my hand. I don't know this. And so that evening, he showed me Ephesians 2, 8, 9, John 3, 16. And, oh, I was going, this is really great news. How come no one ever told me this before?
Wow.
You know, believed that evening and, you know, came to faith at the high school fellowship. Yeah.
Now, was this mainly a Chinese fellowship, Chinese Christian fellowship? Because was this a Chinese church?
It was basically an English-speaking but people of Chinese background church. So, yeah, it was like 90%+ Chinese people or at least Asian folks. Yeah.
But I mean, that's somewhat true, especially in Chinatown in San Francisco. But San Francisco has a large Asian population and did when you were growing up, didn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. You know, I wasn't the only person in my class that was Chinese. But
right.
Yeah, probably, you know, probably in that time, maybe 10-15% of the class was Asian.
In your high school?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think now it's probably like 30%. You know, it's not the majority, but the
plurality.
The largest group. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about at Berkeley? Was there a large Asian population at Berkeley,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, definitely there was a lot.
Well, you know, when I was at Irvine, there was a pretty heavy Asian population, but not like it is today. I think back then, I mean, I was a biology major in college, and a lot of Asians were biology majors. I don't know why exactly, but I think probably 15-20% of UCI was Asian.
Yeah.
But today, it's more like, what, 60%, 70%?
No, I think it's about 35.
Or 35?
Five. Okay. Yeah.
It's still a plurality.
Yeah, it's still a plurality.
Because
I
remember walking on campus about 7-8 years ago. The majority of the people I was seeing were Japanese, Chinese, Korean.
Right.
You know, they were from Asia.
Right, right.
Except they weren't from Asia. They grew up here.
Yeah.
Well, some of them actually, of course, were foreign students that were here on visas.
Right.
So many things. But okay, so back to this. So you came to faith in Christ. Did you then plug into that church?
Yeah. You know, I would go there to the youth fellowships. Actually, I wouldn't go there on Sundays because my dad actually, you know, he actually thought the place was a cult and he didn't, you know, he said, well, we'll let you go on Friday nights, but on Sundays you need to go with your mom to the Chinese Presbyterian Church. And, you know, I mean, that was also one of the reasons when I first heard the gospel. I was like, I've been going with my mom. How come they never told me any of this before, you know? And so I was like, I didn't really want to go there, but, you know, I guess part of it, I think maybe is language difficulties. You know, I'd hear things, but it was all in Taiwanese. So
now you're fluent in Taiwanese, is that right? At least you were.
I would say, I mean, I could do table conversation, but I'm sure as you would see, like English theological conversation is very different than just regular English table talk conversation.
Right.
You know, the words you'll use, what you'll hear in a church sermon, you won't normally use at regular conversation at the dinner table.
Well, when you were in the Chinese Presbyterian Church, was that in English or in Taiwanese?
It was in Taiwanese, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was a little hard for you to follow?
Yeah, it was hard. You know, we were basically, you know, being also a child, I was pretty bored.
Okay, so you come to faith, you plug into this church. Now, we're going to talk in the next episode about the fact that at some point there was a theological crisis for you in that very church.
Sure.
But we'll hold off for that a minute because I'd like to get a few more things out here. So you then came to read a book by Zane Hodges, didn't you? What was that book called?
That was called Absolutely Free, and it was related to this theological crisis, yeah.
Okay, and so we'll talk about that more in the next session, but you actually corresponded and spoke with Zane Hodges about that.
Right, right, yeah. And, I mean, this church actually I would say had a lot of influencers from Dallas Theological Seminary, you know, which was really nice. We had Dr. John Walvoord as one of our speakers. You know, they had the Bible Knowledge Commentary, which I picked up a set at a discount price.
Wow.
Yeah. And so in those early years that I was there, you'd see a lot of the Dallas Seminary. You know, there was a lot of people who had Ryrie Study Bibles.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, the person who led me to Christ, he recommended I pick up an NIV Study Bible. So that's what that was my first study Bible, not
right.
the Ryrie Study Bible. So.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you came back from MIT and you married Letitia,
yeah.
you had Peyton. When was Peyton born?
Yeah, Peyton was born in 2001. So, yeah, that was when we had moved back from San Francisco after, you know, working in Dallas for a year in GS. Yeah.
Okay, now we can talk about that more in the next episode, too. But when you interacted with Zane, you learned about GES. You came out here for a year and you helped us get our school started.
Right.
And then you moved back there and Peyton was born.
Peyton was born, yes.
And so he was born actually on my birthday.
Right, right. That's an easy way for me to remember your birthday is I just didn't remember my own sons. Hopefully I can at least do that.
Yeah. And he was born in 2001, so he just turned then 21.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you went to law school at Berkeley, right?
Right.
Is that called Bolt Law School or something?
It's now called University of Berkeley School of Law. Bolt was always an informal name, and you know, there was some controversy, so they've dropped the Bolt name because he was not maybe the greatest guy.
Okay. So part of the cancel culture that's gone.
Right. He was a rich guy, obviously, to get his name out there, but he was maybe not the best that they want to represent with him anymore. So.
Okay, so then you ended up, and we'll talk about this more, but you ended up moving to Dallas after you got your law degree. You were hired by, well, you had multiple opportunities, but two firms in Dallas were offering you positions.
Right.
And you were interested because you wanted to come and be a part of Zane Hodges' church in Dallas, right?
Right, yeah. We'd always have fond memories of Dallas and would like to come back and, you know, center Zane's teaching again. And so we were definitely, and the Lord, I guess, guided that. I really didn't have many opportunities. I didn't, actually at that point, didn't have opportunities to stay in San Francisco, but the opportunities to practice law were here in Dallas, so let's go.
So you do contracts and things.
Right.
Big contracts,
yeah,
like
yeah.
in the millions of dollars.
Right, you know, $20 million loans, $30 million loans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And how old are you now?
I'm 50 years old.
50 years old. All right. Well, thank you. And everyone, come back for the next time because we're going to be talking more with Mike about issues related to Grace in Focus. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about Mike Lee's struggles with Lordship Salvation and Free Grace. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.